Freedom. The word freedom. So if you Google freedom, you look at images, you see broken chains. It's very often how we understand what freedom is conceptually. It's almost the same as anarchy. Lack of rules. Nobody telling you what to do. So it was like as a kid, I always enjoyed my vacation. I hated when they had a regimented vacation. The last thing you wanted on a vacation was you have to be here at 8 o'clock and here at 10 o'clock. I didn't want to be presented with an itinerary for a vacation. That's what I have all year round. But vacation meant, you know, avde behefkera nichale. So it's interesting that in this week's parsha, discussing the luchos, it says, v'amichtav michtav elokim hu charis ala luchos. It was charis ala luchos, which meant it was kind of etched in onto the stone, were the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the Aseres HaDibros and the various elements of the Torah. So what's fascinating is there's a well-known Gemara, a well-known Chazal. Why is it well-known? Because I think it appears in many places of davening, right? So it says, the Drasha Chazal's Al Tikre Charis El Cheris. Don't read it that it was etched in stone, but rather it was freedom. And the Gemara then darshens, Dein lecha ben charin, ela misha osik b'torah. There's no such thing as somebody who is free, except somebody who sits and toils in Torah. So this is a very difficult kriyuk siv. Generally, when it's a kriyuk siv, you have the way it is written, and the way it is spoken, and the drasha that comes out of it is at least close to the original source. But here, you have, don't read it that it's etched in stone, but rather read it as free. Which is pumfakert, the exact opposite of what the initial chazal, the initial pasuk is telling us. The pasuk is telling us that it's this is the way it is, and these are the laws and the regulations that you have to follow. And the drasha is, don't read it as etched in stone, but rather read it as free. Who is free? Somebody who sits and learns Torah. And again, going back to our concept of freedom, freedom means nothing is etched in stone. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and nobody can tell me what to do. That is freedom. That is what everybody wishes for. That could be what the people of America wanted when this place was originally found. And that could be the same thing as, you know, when the slaves, when they wanted their freedom back in, back in the 19th century, they wanted, that's it. We are free to do whatever we want. So here it's Pumfakert. So the Al Tikre traditionally is a little diversion of what the initial halacha is, but here it's exactly opposite. So what is exactly Chazal saying? And perhaps if we understand this Chazal, we can understand exactly what true freedom is. And it might not be what every single thing in Google is. If you Google the word freedom, it's fascinating what comes up. Some books I never heard of, some movies I never heard of, but maybe we'll get to Mel Gibson at the end. Anyway, so the Gemara says that that cheres is freedom. So what is it? What is it? So there's a beautiful sefer called the Shem and Ato, which I quoted from a number of weeks ago, but he has a very small little ha'ari here, which I think we could derive something. So we have the following. So he says like this. Chazal says somebody who does something is muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. He's promised that he is a ben olam haba. So what does that mean? When somebody's promised he's a ben olam haba, if he acts in a certain way, he's promised that he's a ben olam haba. It doesn't mean that he's going to merit olam haba. Somebody who does, if you do this and this, muftach lo shehu ben olam haba. It doesn't mean he's promised he's a ben olam haba. It doesn't mean he's doing something and because of that he merits it, but rather means the following. It means that in this world, he already is somebody as if he's living in olam haba. Let me give you an example. And we'll give an example when it comes to freedom and slavery, exactly what it means. Somebody's a ben chor, somebody who is a ben olam haba. That means he doesn't have as much needs in olam haza. I'll give you the great example of the chalant, of the kiddush guy. There are two kinds of people who go to the kiddush. There's one kind of guy who goes to the kiddush, and he starts shouldering you when he tries to get into the chalant as fast as possible. There's another person, he's a ben olam haba, he comes down. Yeah, there's chalent. Yeah, he may or may not get the chalent. If he gets the chalent, he's happy. If he doesn't get the chalent, no. He waits patiently for his turn. So who's the slave in this case? The slave is the person who has no choice but to go chaparai in the chalent. Because he's
Who's muftach lo ben olam haba? Who's the one who's promised olam haba? He's promised olam haba, the person, not because he did such a nice act by waiting in line for the challenge. It's because in this world he's not subjugated to the olam haza. He's already living in the olam haba. Namely, he doesn't need the gashmias of olam haza. He's muftach lo that he's a ben olam haba because in this world he's already as if he's in the next world. Meaning the next world, that there's no gashmias. There's none. You don't have that desire for all of the various food and delicacies. So similarly also by us, by Ben Chorin. What does it mean that he's a Ben Chorin? That even though he's tied to Torah, right, and he can't divorce himself from Torah, so that's exactly how this individual becomes raised above Olam Hazeh. By being free and connecting with the Torah, he has freed himself of the shackles of this world. Who is truly free? The person who's sitting and learning. Why? Because he's sitting and learning. He's not, subjugated to his iPhone, to his, in the old days, if this was a shir 7 years ago, I would have said he's not subjugated to his BlackBerry, Okay, if I would have said this shir 12 years ago, I would have said he's not subjugated to his cell phone. If I would have said this shir 20 years ago, I don't know what the mashal would have been, but insert mashal here, it depends on the generation. Who is exactly free? The person who's sitting and learning is free. Why is he free? Because he has divorced himself from all of the various different subjugations. Again, we're all subjugated to things. Some people, they can't sit and learn during a regular season game. Other people, the playoffs. Other guys, when I get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, that's when I'm going to mevatel my Seder. That's when I'm going to nullify what I'm doing. But who is the true free person? The person sitting and learning Torah because he doesn't have the same needs as somebody else. His needs become much less. It's like the old Chazon Ish. What's bitachon? Bitachon doesn't mean I will get that, but rather, I don't need that. I have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide me what I need. I don't have to go running around for that. This is somebody who is charis. Al tikre charis. Don't read it that it's etched in stone, rather charis. Because somebody who lives his life of Torah, as a ben Torah, he has true freedom. Freedom doesn't mean I could do what I want when I want. Freedom means I have a set of values, I stick to those values, and all I need are those values. And whatever comes along after that, I may or may not need. Similarly, we have the following same concept, the Shemana Tov adds. We have somebody who is Shomer Shabbos, right? So, he's called Shomer Shabbos. What do we call that person on Tuesday? We call him a Shomer Shabbos Jew. Why do we call him on Tuesday Shomer Shabbos? It's not Shabbos. The guy's not. I once had a ridiculous conversation with somebody. We were discussing the concept of Borer, and whether or not you could take a piece of barley out of the Chalent. They go, why can't I take a piece of barley out of the Chalent? So explaining Borer, they go, on Shabbos, meaning they thought I was talking about during the week. I couldn't take but I don't know why. So why on Tuesday is somebody called the Shomer Shabbos? They're not keeping Shabbos on Tuesday. So he says the following, that when somebody's Shomer Shabbos, right, that's telling us something very fundamental about the person, which is that they don't need the Gashmias as much, because on Shabbos, they're going to take 25 hours from their lives and separate themselves from this world. It's defining who they are, that those qualities of running after Parnassa, of running after Gashmias, of running after, the next dollar, they're not as subjugated to that. They have that sense of freedom. So the Shomer Shabbos part of the person defines them as somebody who is willing to remove themselves for a little bit from this particular world. So even during the week, they become somebody who is shown at Umis Allah. So similarly here, somebody who's willing to sit and learn Torah, he is somebody who is free from all the other diversions of this particular world. And this is perhaps one of the lessons of Shushan Purim. You're sitting here on Shushan Purim, the day after Purim. I already saw some tweets come out, 383 days till the next Purim, really 382 days till the next Purim. But that's not really what it's about. It's not about counting down till the next Purim. Purim is a very, very important lesson. There's a well-known gra that that Yom Purim is Yom Kippur. And why is Purim Yom Kippur? So the gra, on a simple level, is understood in the following way: that most Yom Tovim are Chetzi Lashem v'Chetzi Lachem. I do part of it for myself and part of it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, for example, I spend half a day in shul. And then I go home and I have a beautiful Yom Tov Seuda. Yom Kippur and Purim are two opposite ends of the same coin. Purim, Yom Kippur, is clearly Kulal Hashem. There's no eating, there's no drinking, there's nothing. There's no, all the Tanuge Olam Hazeh, all the pleasures of this world, you put aside. And we become angelic. On the flip side, Purim is the exact opposite. There are no Isurim placed on us. Mordechai had a Havamina to make it a Yontif. But he understood better at the end that there are no restrictions placed on our Olam Hazeh. If anything, there's an increase in Olam Hazeh. As we all know, there could be an issue that we never have during the year, that all of a sudden you're supposed to drink and really insert yourself into Olam Hazeh. So we have the Chetzi Lashem, Chetzi Lachem, the two opposite ends of the same coin, that on Purim, yeah, on Yom Kippur, it's cool, it's, you know, it's the Chetzi Lashem, and Purim, which is the opposite end of Yom Kippur, is Chetzi Lachem. But there's a much deeper idea going on. Is the question is, now that Purim is over, and I've put myself into a position where I have eaten and drank, and I've done all those things, but what is that? What was the purpose of all that? Was it to once again reconnect with my youth and slave myself and subjugate myself to all the physical pleasures of this world? Or is it to reconnect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that I use those things to reconnect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? That I use the food to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? I use the drink to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu? What's the simen for that? Shushan Purim. What are you doing the day after Purim? Are you sitting there waiting, counting down to the next Purim, to the next time that I could just eat and drink and be merry? Or did I use this as a catalyst to kimu v'kiblu, to reaffirm what I had already, to strengthen and mechazek, as Bibi Netanyahu ended his speech the other day, chizku v'yamtu, to re-strengthen myself in my Talmud Torah, in my learning of Torah, in my Shmiras HaMitzvahs? What am I the day after? You know, people, Shushan Purim, I saw another joke. It's a walled city. I made this joke. Really, Woodmere is a walled city. We have to keep another day. It's not about keeping another day. It's Purim. It's about utilizing what we learned on Purim to strengthen our service, continuing going weiter. And this is a great sign the next day after Purim. What is a Jew doing the day after Purim, the Shabbos after Purim, the weeks after Purim? Are we thinking about the next Purim, which we all are, but is that my whole Avodas Hashem, or is that just a simen that no, now to next day, I've re-strengthened my commitment, that I'm not subjugated to all the food and the drink and all that other stuff, but rather, Ein ben choren el mishi asik b'torah, that I have true freedom. And the true freedom means, I did it for a day, I did what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that day, but the next day, right back to Rashi Tosis, right back to learning, right back to preparations for Shabbos, that I could be called the Shomer Purim all year, but the Shomer Purim all year is only megale on us for the entire year, that we're not subjugated to anything else. Similar to a Shomer Shabbos on Tuesday. I'm called the Shomer Shabbos on Tuesday because the Shmir Shabbos shows what kind of Jew I am. So everyone should have a Freilich and Shushan Purim, and that they should enjoy the true freedom of Ein Ben Chayer and Ela Mishi Yasek B'Torah, that there is no true free person except somebody who sits and toils in Torah, because by sitting and learning and becoming a Ben Torah is the true freedom, because that is when we are not subjugated to anything else. Have a wonderful Shabbos.